seeking the Lord's help, let us worship the Lord by reading hymn 1038. Hymn 1038. Sinners in their deep affliction sigh and groan beneath their load, long to read their own election, and with pleasure say, "My God," trembling, fearing, hoping still in Jesus' blood. Blessed are the souls who tremble at Jehovah's searching word. Contrite hearts cannot dissemble. God has slain them with his word. Doubting, fearing, still their hope is in the Lord. Mourning saints whose heart is broken, love shall wipe thy weeping eyes. Ask thy Saviour for this token, all thy needs he will supply. Fear not, mourner, Christ will make you reap in joy. We will read two short portions from God's holy word. First from Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. The strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double, and an everlasting joy shall be upon them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And then we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and the Gospel of Matthew, and we will read chapter 5 and the first 12 verses. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 and the first 12 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May the Lord bless to us his own word and teach us how to pray. Most holy and eternal Lord God, how we do need thee now to breathe into our heart a breath of real prayer. For thou hast said, O Lord, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But oh, how soon, Lord, we seem to be fainting when we should be praying. Oh, do grant then thy divine help. We would come pleading the precious name of Jesus, a name that is just suited to every sinner's case, that name that the Father loves to hear his children call, and that name that prevails above every name. Oh, we pray for that sweet access at the throne of thy grace, that we may come, Lord, with all our cares and all our burdens. As the dear hymn writer said, you can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. And O Lord, thou knowest the need of each of our hearts at this time. And oh, we pray thou would have mercy upon us. We would come confessing our many, many sins. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh, we do pray, dear Lord, that we may ever be as real repenting sinners. Oh, we do need that real heart repentance which only thou canst give, that real heart confession, that real mourning over our sin and after thee. We pray, dear Lord, thou wilt wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness, the fountain of thy precious blood. And oh, may we know its sweet cleansing power, our pardon signed, our peace procured. Oh, do grant us, Lord, that living faith to believe. Do take away all our unbelief. We mourn so often because we are plagued with unbelief. Many doubts arise. Creatures of fear we are when we drag along, one said, and fear where no fear is. But oh, we would be found ever at thy dear feet, humbled in the dust, and say with the dear man in the gospel, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We pray for heavenly wisdom. Lord, we feel so much our foolishness, our ignorance. We need thee to make us wise unto salvation. We need thee to give us a little of that wisdom thou didst give to Solomon, that we may be made to salvation wise. For thou hast said in thy word, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. And, O Lord, how we need that wisdom to discern thy mind, thy will, the way thou would have us to go. And, O, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant to us that gracious understanding. We would pray with the psalmist that I know not, teach thou me. Oh, may we be truly taught of the Lord, and found in that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, do make us real, make us right, Lord. We solemnly realise in this dark and solemn day, with so many being ushered into eternity, a great need of being prepared. And may the dear hymn writer's prayer be our fervent petition. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must thee work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe, wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Do bless thy dear people, and knowest their varied needs, Lord, their varied concerns, the many things that burden them and exercise them. We pray thou wilt come and suit thyself to each soul, Lord. For as we hope to sing later, thou dost know every saint's peculiar case. And Lord, how we have many peculiar things to walk through, but Lord, thou art acquainted with them all. Do bless the dear children. Remember them, Lord, and the babes. Help them, we pray, in early days to seek thy face. And may they be raised up to be useful in their day and generation in Zion. Keep them from the world, keep them from carnal religion. But, oh, may they be blessed with all the riches of thy grace, and the prayers of dear parents heard and answered. Remember the dear young people, we pray, that thou wilt work in them mightily thy fear and grace, and they may seek thy face in all things, and commit their way to thee, and do make a way for each one, whether it be at school or college, university, or venturing into work, or whatever it may be. Provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives. May there be those joined together by thee. We pray that thou wilt remember those in middle age and the many burdens and cares they carry. Do undertake for them, Lord. Help them in all their troubles, in all their times of need. And may they be enabled, like the children of Israel, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And, O Lord, do remember our dear age friends, those in their homes, those in Bethesda, and in other homes. Do visit them where they are. May thy presence be their stay. And may they sweetly prove that thou hast helped them hitherto. Well, help them all their journey through. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt prepare each of us for thy will. And do bless us as a flock. And, oh, may the day be hastened when we may gather together in thy courts. do help us to pray one for another, bear one another's burdens. We would gather each one up in our arms before thee, and pray for thy richest blessing to be poured upon each one. And do help her, Lord, thy dear servants, and grant them gracious liberty, those that minister, those that are silent, do help them. And grant them, Lord, times of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Do remember all those in affliction's pathway. Many are laid aside, Lord, thousands throughout this land and throughout the earth. Oh, may these things be a voice to many, and may there be those to truly pray for thy appearing, and oh, that there may be known that restoring and healing, if it's thy will. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt sanctify all these afflictions and all the solemn circumstances we're in. And may we be enabled to be still and to know that thou art God. We do pray for those that are bereaved, Lord. We especially pray for the bereaved families of thy servants thou hast taken home in this past week. And we pray, dear Lord, that though their labours are now finished, that they there may be those signs following what they have ministered over the years, and that we each that still labour may look back and see how their ministry was made a blessing to us. And Lord, do sanctify it to their dear families, and comfort all that mourn and weep. For thou hast said that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, do appear in the nation, Lord, we pray for further healing and restoring to our Prime Minister. And may this affliction that's come upon him be sanctified to him. And, O Lord, may we still as a land be a land not to serve Satan as it has been so much of the past, but to serve thee. We thank thee there is a remnant that do. And we pray that there may be yet many blind eyes open through these afflictions, through this lockdown, and deaf ears unstopped, and many brought to flee the wrath to come. And, O Lord, we pray for all, we would pray for at home and abroad, and especially those that are persecuted and those in the midst of war and conflict. We beg of thee to deliver, and all thy dear people, whatever be their state or case, do favour us now with thy presence, thy help. And, O Lord, do give us a truly thankful heart for all thy many mercies to us, those mercies that are countless as the sand that daily we receive. We would give thee all the glory, all the praise. To anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. May the word not be just ours, Lord, but thy word. And may the blessed power of the Spirit accompany that which is sown in weakness. May it be raised with power. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail, so we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. we will read hymn 524. Hymn 524, the Gospel brings tidings, glad tidings indeed, to mourners in Zion who want to be freed from sin and from Satan and Mount Sinai's flame. Good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. What sweet invitation the Gospel contains to men heavy laden with bondage and chains. It welcomes the weary to come and be blessed with ease from their burdens in Jesus to rest. For every poor mourner who thirsts for the Lord, a fountain is open in Jesus the Word. Their poor parched conscience to cool and to wash from guilt and pollution, from dead works and dross. A robe is provided, their shame now to hide, in which none are clothed by but Jesus, Jesus' bride. And though it be costly, yet is the robe free, and all Zion's mourners shall decked with it be. A ring that denotes his unchangeable love is put on the finger, God's kindness to prove. This love no beginning can know nor an end, and Zion shall wear it in praise of her friend. Seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5 and the 4th verse. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. These words drop from the sacred lips of the dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount. And never man spake like this man. And oh, the blessedness and reality and sacredness of his ministry to sinners. And our text is found in that sermon. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They dropped in very sweetly here in the death on Monday of the dear servants of God, Mr. Colin Dawson and Mr. Peter Cornwell. And I thought how Zion mourns the loss of his dear servants. And so the real mourners will be comforted. The promise here is so blessedly set forth. Now I want to look at this in a few ways as the Lord may help me. Firstly, he begins these verses from 3 down to 11 with the same words, blessed are they that mourn. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. It's a beautiful word, this word, blessed. It means a few things which seem to so come to me. Firstly, it means as the Lord looks upon his dear people and he sees them ignore their need and state and case, that in his sight, because his love is toward them, they're a blessed people. Blessed is the man, the psalmist says, that knows the joyful sound. Blessed are the chosen of God's dear children. They're blessed in his sight. We often look at some of the choice characters over the years throughout Zion that are now in glory, we could truly say concerning them, they were blessed characters. Why? Because they were so blessed of the Lord. And the second thing I'd name is this, why he says, blessed are they that mourn. The Lord was going to bless them. And what was he to bless them with? Comfort. You know, we're favoured, aren't we, with many blessings temporarily. You know, the things of time, the food and drink and raiment and our health, his goodness to us, all the blessings that the Lord gives are endless. And we think back to Genesis 49, when the Lord blessed all the tribes of Israel, and then again how he wonderfully confirmed it through Moses in Deuteronomy 33, the blessings that were to descend upon them. So he says, blessed are they that mourn. You know, a person that is blessed is supremely blessed. They're not just blessed with time things. They're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Those blessings of heaven, they're supremely blessed. And the world doesn't know anything of those divine blessings. The Lord promised, didn't he, dear Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, that in blessing I will bless thee. And it's something that the real child of God continually prays for the Lord to bless them. Jabez prayed it, didn't he? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And Jacob prayed it when he was faced with his brother Esau coming against him and longing for the blessing, and how the Lord blessed him there. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Are we on this Lord's Day Sunday morning longing for the Lord to bless us? It's a personal experience. Oh, that the Lord would bless me indeed. And the blessings of pardon, the blessings of peace, the blessings of his presence, the blessings of his help. So he says, here, blessed are they that mourn. But then too, one of the meanings of this word, blessed, is happy. You know, the Lord's dear people are happy people. And we think of those blessed words in Deuteronomy 33, at the close of that, toward the close of that sacred chapter, after he had given them that blessing, he says, doesn't he, as he closes the chapter, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And then we read too, don't we, in the Psalms of blessed word where he speaks of the Lord, happy is the man that knoweth the joyful sound. And too, in Psalm, if I may find it, Psalm 146, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So they're a happy people. They know real happiness. Oh, the happiness arising from the work of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquest over hell and sin. Happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. So this first word, blessed are they that mourn. But then there are these mourners. We have sung of them, or read of them rather, in the hymns, the mourners of God's dear people. But let us look a little into it, because there are different types of mourning. If you go to a funeral, there are those that attend because they may have just known the person. There are those that may be distant relatives of the person that has passed away. There are those that in the family. But then you come right down to the real mourners, those that are close to the dear one that's been taken. They are the real mourners. And, you know, where do we stand in it? How real is our mourning? Are we mourning today? There are many things, you know, we would look at a few of them that make us mourn. We can look at it outwardly first. If we truly fear God, we shall be mourning that we, even this day, excuse me, because we cannot go into the house of the Lord. You see, real seeking sinners long to be in God's house, and they mourn when they cannot be there. They mourn because that is the place where the Lord has wonderfully blessed them, and they've known and felt his sweet presence. But then there are those that mourn because of the low state of Zion. The few that come to a feast. And there's a mourning too because of the lack of appetite for the truth. And there's a mourning because the nation has so departed from the Lord. But oh, that the Lord would use this solemn coronavirus to bring many to truly feel their great need of the Lord's appearing and be real mourners. Now, not just standing afar off, but mourning before the Lord. Well, let us look at the reality of this. Now, those things I've mentioned will be the concern of a real mourner in Zion, 'tis true, but oh, the real mourning that there is, which is in the heart. Heart mourners. You know, do we know what it is to truly mourn over our sin and weep before the Lord because of those sins? We read just now in that 524th hymn, to mourners in Zion who want to be freed from sin and from Satan and Mount Sinai's flame. And oh, that there may be that real mourning over sin before the Lord. There's a good prayer in the hymn, convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood. And you know, the more the Lord shows us our sinnership, the more we shall be mourning over our sin before him. You think of the dear publican. He was so different than the Pharisee when they went up to the temple to pray, wasn't he? He was a real mourner. He had much within him to mourn over and to grieve over before the God of heaven. And that's why he prayed like he did, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I'm a poor mourner, mourning over my many, many sins. And are there those this morning feeling that so much within? But the Pharisee, you see, he stood afar off, and thank God he was not as other men are. And oh, he didn't know real mourning, did he? But you see this beautiful word of the Saviour to mourners has a wonderful promise, for they shall be comforted. But then there's a mourning over various sins within, the sin of unbelief. How often we have to mourn, don't we? If we truly fear the Lord and love Him, we shall often be mourning because of our unbelief, our lack of faith. And, oh, how it makes us mourn, because we're plagued with that terrible sin of unbelief. And then we often have to mourn because of the poverty of our prayers. You know, the dear servant of God, Hezekiah, he knew real mourning because of his sin and because of the circumstances he was in of affliction and the onslaught from the Assyrians. And the solemn message from heaven, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. But you know, in his song of deliverance, he didn't count his prayers as anything. How often we have to mourn because of the poverty of our poor prayers. And what did he say? Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. You know, I think that description of a dove is wonderful. You know, I understand naturally that doves pair up for life. And if one is taken by death or some means, that the one that remains mourns the rest of its days. And it often will sit on a tree, or on a branch, and it's mourning, weeping over the loss that it's encountered. And may we be true mourners in Zion who long to be freed. But then, oh, the times of mourning, the hidings of the Lord's face. The psalmist knew it. You read in some of the psalms, he was in a very low place in mourning. The Lord hiding his face, thou hidest thy face, and we are troubled. And he withdrew, the spouse in the Song of Solomon knew it, when the beloved Saviour withdrew himself. Oh, the mourning there was going on within her. And the Lord knows all our mourning. And then, of course, there are things in the pathway. When we walk in, sometimes in affliction, and oh, how low we come. And we're often mourning because we feel so much the affliction. So much may be the pain, so much because of the body feeling so weak and poor and helpless. And there's a mourning going on within. And then we mourn when the Lord does remove dear ones, maybe from the family. And from our churches, and Zion is mourning. I remember when my late dear aunt was taken, and I lost, as it were, three that sort of I felt carried me in my early days in the ministry. And she was one that carried me along in prayer. And when the Lord took her home at 53, you know, oh, how I mourned. And then my late dear grandfather as well, when he was taken, and dear Mr. Mulvey, and with all in the space of a year. And you know, when there are those that carry you along in their prayers and support you and uphold you, and they're removed, there's such mourning. But you see, we've got to come into these places of mourning. And there may be those of you today that are mourning because the Lord is silent to you. The psalmist said, didn't he, "Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." And oh, the mourning that one so often feels within, and man cannot see it, but often it does reflect in a person's countenance. But you see, oh, this real mourning. But you've got to come into these places of mourning to know the blessedness of the Lord's comfort. You think of dear Hezekiah, just going back to him, I often mention him because it's such a wonderful case to one's own heart, how the Lord was pleased to comfort him with pardon, with peace, with deliverance from all his enemies, and from the affliction, healing sent down. And we think too of dear Hannah. You see, she knew what it was to mourn because of her barrenness and no offspring, longing for a Samuel. Look how wonderfully the Lord was to comfort her. And Hezekiah, they were to know the mourning, to know the comfort. We think too of the dear disciples in John 14, where he said he was going to leave them and go up to Calvary and suffer, bleed and die. They were going to be left alone. And oh, how they mourned, ever so troubled. Think of those words he spoke to them in that 14th chapter. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And oh, how he was to fulfill that precious word. The margin tells us, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And you know, the Lord fulfilled that in every jot and tittle and wonderfully comforted them, didn't he? And after the resurrection. And oh, may we know that sweet comfort. Now, I want to look at the comfort in a few ways, really. There's that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah, isn't there, if one may just find it, where the Lord spoke in chapter 40 to the prophet. And so often the Lord will grant comfort through the word of his grace. Here he says to Isaiah to speak to the people, and it was one of the commissions the Lord has given to each of his dear servants. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye, comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. What a comforting word to the church of God in Isaiah's day. And he was to be used as the comforter. But you see, we must know this mourning first, and I would stress that, because how can we know the need of comfort without knowing the mourning? And there's some sweet words, you know, in the Psalms, in Psalm 30. He speaks there this word: thou hast turned for me my mourning into darkness. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. And then too, in the 45th Psalm, he says, thou lovest the righteous and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And all the joy and the rejoicing in that comfort that he gives to his dear people. So in looking at this comfort, firstly, the Lord God of heaven, God the Father, comforts his people. He has promised to comfort them, like he did in Isaiah, that chapter 40. This comfort comes from the whole Trinity of God, each blessed person. And he says, doesn't he, how he will comfort his people. And then secondly, the beloved Son of God. How many he comforted while here upon this earth. You think of dear Mary Magdalene. Oh, the mourning she endured when the Saviour had been crucified and laid in the tomb. Oh, there she was, waiting at that tomb, full of sorrow. He only had to speak one word to her of divine comfort, Mary. You know, if the Lord speaks such a word, you know, he knows each of our names. And if he speaks a word such as our name, like he did to her, and immediately she knew him. Comfort was in that word, Mary. And then, of course, when the Saviour said that he was going to leave his dear disciples, as I have mentioned, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. But you know, in that same blessed chapter, he wonderfully speaks of him going from them, but I will send you another comforter, that is the Holy Ghost, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Oh, the sweet comfort of God the Father, God the Son, and then the God the Holy Spirit, and how he conveys that comfort down to his mourning people. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Look at the certainty here. They shall be comforted. But then he will use his word, as I have indicated just now, to comfort his people. Many have been in much distress and mourning and gone to the word of God. And the Lord has spoken to them through his holy word, sweet words of comfort. And they never forget them. But then he will use his dear servants as the messengers of heaven to comfort his dear people. You may have wondered, and I'll just briefly name it, why we read together that beautiful chapter in Isaiah 61, and in it is a beautiful word. We read this, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And I remember in much mourning and weeping going into Staples Chapel back in 1965, and the dear servant of God preached from that word. I've never forgot it. Oh, he said, and what was so sweet to me, these exchanges are going to be yours. And I live to prove it. He says, to appoint unto them that mourn is on, give them beauty for ashes. You see, you've got to have a fire to have ashes. Job said, didn't he? I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. There's no beauty in ashes. But, he was to make even the fires Job had passed through beauty in them all. The oil of joy for mourning. Turn their mourning into joy. We read, don't we? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And then the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. These exchanges, you see, may the Lord grant them to a poor mourner on this Lord's Day morning. And may the Holy Spirit so use some of the sacred hymns that we read and sing of comfort to his dear people. There's no comfort like the comfort of heaven sent down by the blessed Holy Spirit. Well, I'll leave you with the word, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And, beloved friends, the day is going to come with each of the dear Lord's dear children redeemed by his precious blood, when he'll turn all their mourning into joy. And heaven, they'll be able to sing the praises of their God, who has brought them safely out of all their mourning and comforted them with comforts from heaven. May the Lord bless the word and forgive anything amiss. We will conclude by reading hymn 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. What sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. He knows how deep their groanings are, and what their secret sighs declare, and for their comfort has expressed that all such mourning souls are blessed. They're blessed on earth, for 'tis by grace they see and know their mournful case. Blessed mourners, they shall shortly rise to endless comfort in the skies. There all their mourning days shall cease, and they be filled with joy and peace. Comforts eternal they shall prove, and dwell forever in his love. Dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee, and when my mourning days are o'er, enjoy thy comforts evermore. May the Lord bless his dear precious word, and may we know that heavenly comfort, and may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.